Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to begin in the book of Hebrews. We're going to talk about the Father's grace and His glory. When it comes to the Scriptures, I can teach you the Word, but only our Father can make it truly live in your heart. It's a living Word. And Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick." The word quick means living. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Most people don't even know there's a difference between soul and spirit, but God's Word can cut it. And of the joints and the marrow, and I don't think they can do that in the medical field to this day, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is a living Word, and He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. It takes both the Word of God and the Spirit of God if we're to walk with Him. Take a quick look at 1 Peter. This is one you all know. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's just not a dead textbook. It's the living word of God. And God works with that word to make himself known to us. It's our point of contact with God. It's the basis for our faith. If you don't know what his word says, it's impossible to have faith when it comes to understanding God. You just have your own ideas, your own formation, and your own thinking of what God is. God's word is what reveals what God is, and it's our point of contact. We can't approach God's Word by only having an intellectual acceptance of His Word or having a fascination with it. It's the living Word of God, and He stands behind every last syllable with His almighty power to perform it. Our part is to take Him at His Word. It's to believe what He says. Romans 10:17. Sure you know what this one is. I hit it so often. 10:17. So then, faith. And in the Greek, the article precedes the word faith. So this sets this faith as the right way, or the one and only, as distinct from all other kinds. It's the right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing how?
By the word of God.
That's right. So the right way of believing comes by hearing what God has to say in His Word. This is where He reveals Himself. God is Spirit. So the only way you can know who He is by reading what He's revealed to us in the Scriptures. Else we're simply dealing with our own conjectures, our own superstitions, our own traditions, our own philosophies. They're ideas that come out of our minds instead of out of God's mind. The Scriptures come out of His mind and out of His mouth. He makes Himself known. So our part is, once we hear, is to believe it. That's our part. So look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, God is Spirit, remember? Look at 8:2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." It's the law of the Spirit of what?
Life.
What did Adam lose? He lost that life, that whole spirit life basis that God worked with him when he sinned. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to recover it. Verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh," that's the old nature, They cannot please God. The flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, does he dwell in you? Yeah. Speak in tongues. Istiokata edeo. If you can speak in tongues, you got the proof that God dwells in you, because you've got his Spirit, and that's the manifestation of that life. Now, verse 9, second half. If any man have not the Spirit, that is to say, Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, not be, is in you, the body. Body is put for the old nature. The old nature is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is what?
Life.
It's life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of or from him, from God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life, quicken, give life to our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. God is the one that fathered us. He is the one that gave us his Spirit by the finished work of Christ. Keep reading. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're just going to die. That's the natural end of life. And that's all there is for anybody in the flesh. But if you through what?
The Spirit
do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall what?
Live.
How do you mortify the deeds of the body? It's through the Spirit. You confess Jesus as Lord. You believe God raised him from the dead. You get born again. And the second you do that, you have entered the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
Marvel not that I say you must be born again. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It's a birth on the basis of Spirit. Verse 14, for as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received into manifestation, lambanod, the spirit of sonship. Uiathesia is that word sonship. It can either be a placing by adoption or a placing by birth. How did Jesus Christ said we would be made the sons of God? It was by the new birth, by being born again. So it's not adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's the essence of Christianity. If a man or a woman is going to walk with God, it's going to have to be on the basis of Daddy. Mm-hmm. Daddy. Because we are children of God. Beloved, now we're the children of God, and it doesn't yet appear where we shall, but we know all of that in the future. But right now, today, beloved, now we're the children of God. That makes our Father our Daddy. Mm. Children are dependent on their Father. If the Lord Jesus Christ said over and over and over again, I can do nothing of myself, he always depended on his Father. He always did his Father's will. Well, what about us? It's certainly not on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly can't do it of myself. We're the children of God, and we have to be utterly dependent upon our Father, not only for the eternal realities of salvation, the inheritance that is to come, and all of that, but every need that we have in life. He is our Father. And this is the new relationship with God. God is the one that leads the sons of God. It's not an organization that leads us. I grew up in the Lutheran Church. That sure as hell didn't lead me anywhere. It's not in organizations. It doesn't matter what denomination. It doesn't matter what ministry. It doesn't matter what minister. You got a bunch of them on TV and on the internet, and here I sit. It's not in me. It's not in any other minister. It's in God Almighty. He leads us. And who's the head of this body? Christ is. It's not a man on earth. It's Christ. And he's the one that infuses each of us with all in all of us so that we can walk as the children of God. It begins in grace, and it's going to end in glory. So if you're going to walk with God today, you're going to have to learn how to depend on your Father. You're going to have to learn to walk hand in hand with him, to hear that voice, to listen to what the scriptures say. You're going to have to walk with him. In Romans chapter 8, please mute your phone if you came on. It says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. Whose spirit witnesses to who? It's not my denomination. It's not this organization. It's not some minister. God's spirit witnesses to your spirit. That's Christianity. Your father walks with his children. Our relationship is daddy-daddy. It's Abba Father. Abba is Aramaic. And the background of the word is just like a baby bird with his mouth open for his mother or father to bring him a worm. That's Christianity. We utterly depend upon our Father. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't know who is not muted on the call, but please check your mute buttons. So, that's it. God is the one that leads the sons of God. This is the victorious Christian walk. It's an Abba Father. It's a daddy-daddy walk. Irma Lowens used to say it's pappy-pappy. That was it. He used to do oil wells, and he would drill by revelation. He said, Daddy, where do I drill? And he'd tell him, and he'd drill. You see, in Romans chapter 12, it's the way of a father with his children. That's Christianity. It's not in an organization. It's not in a program. It's not in anything that we put together of our own making. It's the work of God in Christ. Then we grow up into Christ as we start believing the Word of God. And sooner or later, if you're going to mature and truly walk with God, these scriptures have to live because they have to mean what they say and say what they mean to the end that you'd stake your life on them. That's when you get answers to prayer. That's when you get healed. That's when you prosper by God's hand. It's his doing, and we commit ourselves unto him. In Romans 12, verse 1, after all that Christ has done in the book of Romans, he says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now stop right there. Under the law, they had sacrifices, dead sacrifices. Here, he uses the word body. It means yourself. It's a figure of speech. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're to supposed to live to do his will, not to die. Holy, acceptable is well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed to this age. The word world is age. But be ye transformed, how?
By the
renewing of your mind, so that you can prove, what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. We don't get God to conform to our ideas. We're transformed by His, by believing His word. It's not about our improving the old man. He's of the flesh. God dealt with him in Christ. He died with Christ. Now it's about believing who you are in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed how? In knowledge. He's renewed in knowledge after or according to the image of him that created him. Who created him? God did. He's spirit. So now we get our minds to agree with what God created on the inside. And that's the key to power. Verse 11, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is what?
Oh.
And he's in all. Christ is all. So if you're going to walk with the Father, you're going to have to grow up into Christ. He's on the inside. He's there by the birth. How many of you were born in this fellowship in here, by the way, of your earthly origins? All of you, right?
Yeah.
We all got born.
Yeah.
Were you born with any ability? Everybody but zero here. We all were born with natural abilities. So does that mean you came out a computer genius, a PhD? You came out a brain surgeon? No. You have to take those natural abilities. You have to submit yourself to instruction. And then you have to practice it. It's no different as a son of God. You get the ability in the new birth. But then you have to grow in your confidence and your competence of what you have received. You have to grow in what God has made you into Christ, to where you live like it, where you walk like it. And that takes a little maturing. Look at the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to read you this from the Working Translation in A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles. And in verse 20, it's translated, with Christ I have been crucified, and I live no longer, but living in me is Christ. So what I now live in the flesh, I live by believing concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So who are you? You're Joel, Christ in one. You're Zero, Christ in one. That's who we are. We're a Christ in one. Now we're of the household of God. And he's created his spirit within us. So now it's a matter of maturing, of growing, of coming to the place that we really believe it. Here's one. You don't have to look it up. What's Colossians 1:27? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8 again. Verse 28. Let me see. Get on the right page. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what?
Purpose.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what?
Firstborn.
The firstborn among many brethren. Whose idea was it? Did you talk God into conforming you to the image of his son? It was the Father's idea for you to be conformed to the image of his son. Think of that. That's what God wanted. That was his desire. That was his will. So he determined beforehand, from the time of Genesis 3:15, when he's putting it all back together, he determined beforehand that you would be conformed to the image of his son, so that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, could be the firstborn among many brethren. So how much spiritual ability do you have, Carol? All of it. How much do you have, Marcia? All of it. Zero has it too. That's a private story. Just look at that. Keep reading. Verse 29. Because those whom he foreknew, he also determined beforehand for them to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, that makes us a family. Who's the father? God is. Who are the children? We are. Each and every one of us. We are members of the household of God, the royal household of God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also what?
Glorified.
And it hadn't even come to pass yet. But there's no question about it. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What is the Father holding back from you?
No.
Not a thing. He freely gives us all things with his Son. How about your answered prayer? Well, Jesus Christ said, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. Then it says in 1 John, which you ought to be pretty familiar with by now, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. What's it say?
This is the confidence.
This is the confidence that we have in ourselves because, no. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask
anything
according to his will, we know that he
hears
us. And if we know he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When we really believe that, then we go to the Father day in and day out and we ask. We go to the Father, Father, what can I do for you today? Father, I need a car. Father, I need to pay a bill. Father, help me. I need to figure out retirement. Father, how do I raise these kids? Father, he gives us answers. He's willing to. Just look what he said. Do we believe the words that are written? This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God freely gives us all things with his son. Let me ask you a question. What do we have that we have not received? Nothing. It's all grace. What about salvation? We confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead. Now you got eternal life. You're saved. Who died? You? No. Christ died for you. All you did was say, I believe it. and then the Father freely gives it to us with His Son. Whose idea was it for us to have all of this? The Father's. Who's the prime mover? You or God? It's our Father. He moved in Christ to make all of it available to us, to all of us. How do we get healed? Father. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. By His stripes, we were healed. He paid for it 2,000 years ago. If you need the healing, then go to Him. And go to His Word and find out the answers that you need. How do you prosper? Well, He says we give. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. So if you want to prosper, then carry out what the Father says. It's His Word. Then He says, you get your prayers answered. He is a provider, just like you and I were for our families. He is a provider for His. End of story. His Word is the object of our believing. All He says, here's my will, son. Now, believe it. That's your part. My part is to perform it. My part is to bring it to pass in your life. And there we have the Father and His family. That's the grace of God. God is the provider, and He provides what He says He will provide. What did God call us to? Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. This blows my mind when I think about it. Didn't have much to start with, and this takes what I did start with way on out there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His what?
Kingdom.
His kingdom and
glory.
Glory. What did God have in mind in calling us? Not what He could get out of us, but what we could get from entrance into His kingdom and glory. Now, He is saying this to us. Go back to Romans chapter 3. This is where we started out. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to those who were dead in sin and came short of the glory of God, He called us into His kingdom and glory. Look at chapter 5.
Romans
5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of what?
Glory.
The glory of God. And yet all of us came short of the glory of God. None of us were deserving of it. And yet to all of us as His children, now we have hope of the glory of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at this glory just a little longer here. He called us to His kingdom, and that's by the new birth. Without that, you can't enter the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, A-I-O-N, it's ages, unto what?
Our glory.
Our glory. This is what God had in mind beforehand. When He planned the ages and laid them out from Genesis 3:15 on, when He was trying to recover all the losses of Adam, what does He say? God ordained before the ages unto our glory His hidden wisdom. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this age, again, it's aeon, A-I-O-N, the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified who?
The Lord
of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's what the Father has done for us. He's prepared this glory for us. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who?
God.
And not of us. It's not of us. Yeah, I know. I was born again with the Spirit of God. Yep, that ability gives me the ability to operate all nine manifestations. But I don't do that independently of God. Who energizes that Spirit?
God
does. Who is the one that leads and guides? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. God does. Who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure? Miracles, gifts of healing, believing to bring the impossible to pass. God does. I don't wag God. As a child, I learned to follow his lead. He is the one that leads. He is the one that directs our steps. So if we're in tune with God, he is directing steps. He is leading and guiding. I know he's given us of his Spirit. Did Peter go into the hospital and just heal everybody in every bed in there? No, he didn't. He went down to Bethesda. There was one in Cincinnati when I lived there. I don't think it was the same one Jesus went to. But he went to the pool of Bethesda, and everybody there believed in healing. One man got healed. Because God gave his son the revelation. That's the one son. Yeah,
I don't have anybody to carry me down to the waters. Because before I get there, somebody else gets in before me.
There had to be a lot more going on than what the record tells us about. Because that's the one that God sent to minister deliverance to. God's will is healing for everybody. But there's a time and a place for everybody. If you try to bite off more than God gives you, then you're asking for a world of hurt. You walk by the Spirit of God. He is the one that leads and guides and directs by his Spirit. If we could just go down to the hospitals, well, hell, we'd just all pick one and go down there and we'd just start tearing them a new ass, wouldn't we? It doesn't work that way. You can't go down to the cancer ward and just start cutting loose. It doesn't work that way. Unless God tells you to, then they'll all be healed. There were times that people would bring all the sick people in town to his door and he'd heal them all. There were other times he wouldn't even touch anybody. Because of their unbelief. It's a walk with the Father. He leads. He guides. He directs. Look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight. It's a heavy weight of glory. We have a hope of glory, and it's a far more exceeding and eternal heavy weight of glory. And he's the one that's going to provide it. Look at Philippians chapter 3. We get hung up in the ups and downs of living, don't we?
Yeah.
The mental pressures, the bills, what's going on in the world, politics, you name it. It's the course of this world. It's entrapment. The Father's the one that leads us through it. He's the one that directs. He's the one that makes sure we have the deliverance from the afflictions and the tribulation we face, the mental pressure today. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is the King James. It's politomai. It's our citizenship. Our citizenship is where?
In heaven.
It's in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, this humiliated body. It's mortal. It's going to die. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Because of your renewed mind believing. No. According to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. He's going to provide it. And won't that be a day? I don't know, millions, maybe billions of people, when the Father gives the Son the command, Son, go bring them home. Up from the grave they rose. All of us together. Oh, boy, what a day that'll be. And what kind of body we will have?
Glory.
One that dies no more. It's going to be like his glorious body that dies no more. And that's only the opening event. Mm. Yeah, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm. Look at Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with them in what?
Glory.
That's right. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. This gives you both sides of the fence. Let's pick it up and let me read this from the working translation, and I won't have to give you all the Greek that makes sense when you translate it correctly. Where did I say?
Second Thessalonians, first.
Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you among the churches of God regarding your patience and believing in all your persecutions and afflictions that you endure. Verse 5. It is evidence of the just judgment of God for you to be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is just with God to repay affliction to those who afflict you. Verse 7. And to you who are afflicted, along with us, to repay rest, R-E-S-T, rest at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his messengers of power. Verse 8, with flaming fire, he will give vengeance against those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel regarding our Lord Jesus. Verse 9, they will be sentenced to eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the what?
Glory.
The glory of his prevailing ability. Verse 10, after he comes to be glorified in his holy, his sanctified ones, and to be admired in that day by all those who have believed, for our witness to you was believed. Once he's glorified the members of his body, then he's going to come and there's going to be a little judgment at the house of God. But it's after he comes to be glorified in his holy ones. When he gets us up, it's going to glorify him. Keep reading. Verse 11. For that reason, we also pray for you always that our God will consider you worthy of the calling and with power will fulfill every good pleasure of goodness and work of believing. verse 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you may be glorified in him, according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a father. Wow. He'd have all men to be saved come to a knowledge of the truth. That's his will. But people just out and out reject it. Well, day's coming. Ka-ching! The scales are going to be tipped one way or the other. Look at chapter 2. This is what God had in mind for you and me. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, the good news of the grace of God. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be kidding me. Who earned all that glory? The Lord Jesus Christ did. Who always did the Father's will? The Lord Jesus Christ did. Who took the beatings? Who went to the cross? Who gave his life? The Lord Jesus Christ did. And yet the Father is going to conform us unto the image of his Son. We're going to be glorified together with him. We are going to take acquisition of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. New bodies, eternal life, better environment, third heaven and earth, to die no more. Wow. It's glory that's coming. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy I think about this stuff and sometimes I wouldn't have done it. Thank God he's not me. Huh? Thank God he's only good. Thank God he's only gracious. Thank God he's our Father.
Yeah.
Oh, man. 2 Timothy. Who could have ever conceived this? Who could have thought about it? Who could have even asked for it? It's so far beyond. It blows my mind every time I have to consider it. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 10. Is that right? Verse 9. Who hath saved God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Oh, you mean we don't get saved according to our works? We don't get healed because of our works? We don't get our prayers answered because of our works? No, we don't. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You don't move God. God conceived all of these as his will, and he revealed them to us. Now we have a choice. We can either believe it or not. How do we receive? By believing what he says, taking him at his word. Yeah, but you can yeah, but all you want to. It's not going to move God. We don't move him in a position to answer prayer. We don't move him in a position to heal us. He already determined he's going to do it. And he did it through Christ. And just as surely as our sins are forgiven, we were healed by his stripes. So stop confessing that you're sick. Stop confessing what the adversary tells us, the symptoms, and believe what God says. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our what?
Works,
but according to his own purpose and divine favor, his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages again. Grow up in him. That takes some maturity to swallow your pride, your ego, all the other stuff, and grow up into Christ. Daddy, Daddy. Father, what would you have me do today? Daddy, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, Daddy, show me these scriptures. Daddy, teach me how to walk. Let me teach me how to hear your voice. Daddy, Daddy, that's the walk. It's the Father and his kids. And the more that we become God-dependent, the more mature we become. 1 Peter. Well, let me go over here because I probably got too much that I can't cover tonight.
You can do as long as you want.
No, I can't. I've got to keep it to an hour.
It's Thanksgiving. Come on.
1 Peter chapter 1. Well, if I don't get it tonight, I'll cover it in the weekend down in Texas. I'm going to do. I guarantee you that. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, says lively King James, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. We called up and reserved our turkey. By golly, we have an inheritance that's reserved for us. Nobody's going to get it from us. It's reserved for us. Look at that. In heaven, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, that the trial of your believing, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does the Father have in mind when he sends his Son? Praise and honor and glory to his kids. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, the words of Christ, go down after signify. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit which was in them did signify of Christ, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and what?
Glory.
The glory that should follow. Today we have his grace and there's glory that's going to follow. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Bless your heart. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look at 5, verse 1. We're still talking glory. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of what?
The
glory that shall be revealed. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of what?
Glory.
That fades not away. And verse 10. Oh, we got to pick. I got to read this context. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may, what? Exalt you in due time. How? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How do you humble yourself? Daddy, daddy. You cast all those cares on him because he wants to do his job as our Father. Be sober, verse 8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All of our brothers and sisters are going through the same thing. We're all here. We're all going through afflictions, tribulations, the adversary seeking to destroy us, to kill us, to steal from us. But God, verse 10, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. You see that? Why did he call us? To his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you've suffered a little bit, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just be patient. Be patient. He's going to deliver you. He's going to bring his word to pass. He called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to have to let the rest of this go here. Life is full of ups and downs, trials, afflictions, tribulations. We lose loved ones, and each of us is going to die should the Lord tarry. But we have the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, every single son and daughter, husband and wife, child and parent is all going to be united. We're going to see him face to face, and we'll be as he is, and we will have the eternal glory, and there'll be no more death. We'll die no more. And God is going to make all things new again, in the new heavens and the new earth. So comfort yourself with that truth. Encourage one another with that truth, and walk in the reality of that truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In chapter 3, God gave the Apostle Paul the revelation to contrast the old covenant of the law with the new covenant of the Spirit. And if the old covenant was glorious, man, you read stuff we read today, where was it, Exodus 33, 34? Oh, my God, the glory in that time. And that glory, it's called the ministry of death. Compared to what we have today, let's just pick it up and read this stuff. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, New Covenant. Diakithi is the word. It's translated covenant and testament about half the time, one way, half the other. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what?
Life.
For if the ministry of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Hey, he in Exodus 33:34, he went up and God gave him the revelation of the tabernacle. I think it was his fifth ascent up the hill that he this revelation. And he said, God, show me your glory. And he set him in a cleft of a rock and covered his eyes, and he says, if you see my face, you're going to die. But I tell you what, I'll let you see my rear end, my hind parts, and all of his goodness, and all of his grace, and all of his loving kindness, and all of his mercy, passed before him. And he came down off the mountain with the revelation that he had graven in stones, and his face glowed because he was in the presence of God. And it freaked the children of Israel out so that he had to put a veil over his face because his face glowed. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses appeared to him, you know, in a vision by revelation, and also Elijah, and you had the prophet, the priest, and you had the king. And then God showed him what his resurrected body was going to be like. You're headed to Jerusalem, son, and you're going to have your exodus, and it's going to hurt. And what did God show him? He showed him the glory that was to come.
Okay.
What did he show Moses? The glory. I remember when I was in training in the Corps, and Dr. Wirbel took me with him to close out a class in Columbus, Ohio, a PFAL class, Power for Abundant Living class. And he taught on the Shekinah glory and what it was going to be like when God had provided the glory for his people. When once he has his way, his will, his desire, and he brings it all to pass, well, it'll be Revelation 21 and 22. It'll be a 1,300-mile cube from the Jerusalem out of heaven settling on the earth in the paradise of God. And God's people will dwell in his presence. Mm. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, because God said, write, for I will make all things new again. And then the glory of God settled on the earth in that new Jerusalem with the tree of life, with the river of living waters, in the paradise of God, in a 1,300-mile high city that's 1,374 miles wide, 1,374 long, and 1,374 miles high, of pure gold as clear as glass, set on 12 foundations of jewels. And God will be the light. There won't be any sun. God will be the light, and his son will provide light. There will be no night there. When he talks about glory, it is so far beyond our wildest dreams, but he's holding it. He's got it reserved for us, and it's going to come to pass as soon as this grace thing is over for us. And there'll be more throughout the ages to come, because he is going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in loving kindness to his kids in Christ Jesus throughout the ages to come. There'll never be a shortage of that glory for his kids. So when you get down here to verse 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of or from the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
You got it. But we all, with unveiled face, is the text. Mm-hmm. Not like Moses, the veil's been removed. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, glasses mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image as the Lord Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From the old glory of the old covenant to the new glory of the new covenant. And we're changed into the same image of glory as our Lord, forever and that conform to his image, we will acquire, will take acquisition of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So life may have its ups and downs, its trials, its tribulations, its afflictions, but the key is walking with our Father, because he's full of grace and glory, and he freely gives us all things with his Son. So encourage one another with those words. Father, thank you for your goodness, your great grace, and your love. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, and that we have confidence in you that we have those requests. We just keep praying. And Father, you just keep providing. Thank you for these bodies that we have. Until your Son returns, and as long as we're living, Father, thank you for healing these bodies. Thank you for restoring our soul. And Father, thank you that we can have confidence in you, that you will perform your word. Whatever it is, that we just lean heavily on you, onto your mighty hand, and we cast our cares to you, because we know you care. Thank you that we can grow up in you, Father, as your children. And thank you, Father. We praise you, and we glorify you, Father, by all you've done for us in Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You're God's very best.